You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Maynard Roberts. Dead Queen Walking is the final story in the Castle Charming series. I'll be running a Kickstarter next year to fund a print edition of the collection, so look out for that. You can listen to all of the previous Castle Charming stories here on the podcast, or become a Patreon supporter for $1 a month and download the ebooks. So, Dead Queen Walking, Chapter 9, Spiffy. Dennis should remain on duty for this parlour of awkward family reunions. On the other hand, Ziggy was the one technically on Kai's detail, and she was here, being a princess. Kai was out there, without a hound on his heels. Dennis withdrew as discreetly as possible and went looking for his boyfriend. He found Kai in the castle grounds, heading for Camilla's tower. "Staying out of the family drama?" Dennis called out, not wanting to startle him. Kai spun around anyway, looking guilty. He said. Dennis eyed the clenched hand. "What's up?" "I think," said Kai, and opened his hand. "I think it's a magic bean." Dennis knew magic beans. The princes and princess had an inexhaustible supply of them, which they mostly used to spice up party games. Those beans were bright coloured, like candied comfits, each containing a single act or effect of minor magic. The small dried pulse in Kai's hand looked nothing like those. "From Fairyland?" Dennis asked, leaning in to examine it. "From Fairyland," Kai confirmed, "because this is our life now." "Hey, storybook nonsense isn't confined to royals in this kingdom," said Dennis. "Remind me to introduce you sometime to my sister and her talking cat." He prodded the bean tentatively. "Gonna plant it?" "I mean," said Kai, "we have to, right? Moral imperative. It's the thing to do." Dennis leaned in and kissed Kai quickly, a brief peck on the mouth. "Let's do it together. Then when it all turns to shit, I'll tell them it was your fault. They're less likely to execute a prince." "Good plan," said Kai. He went down on his knees, scrabbling at the lawn. "Here works, right?" Dennis measured with his eye. "Not too close to the tower. Less likely to cause major structural damage if it all goes, you know." "Giant beanstalk?" "Giant beanstalk." They'd both read that story as children. The giant, the goose that laid the golden eggs, the impossibly large green stalk that led directly to a castle in the clouds. Kai dug the bean into a furrow he'd made with his fingers. Dennis helped him scrape dirt back over it. "And now we wait." They waited at least 5 minutes. "Happened overnight in the fairy tale," said Dennis. "Fairy tales don't always get it right." "And yet." They both watched for another 3 minutes. "Want to find a patch of sunshine to make out in?" Kai asked. "Your Highness comes up with the best plans," Dennis grinned. Later, when Kai returned to his rooms, a tunic hit him in the face. "What?" He snatched it out of the air and tossed it to one side, only to see a pair of trousers flying past him. "Amira, why are you in my wardrobe?" There were many things that came with being a prince, including a shiny suite of rooms that were far too fancy for him, like he was squatting in a hotel room on someone else's tab. The wardrobe, full of outfits he was uncomfortable even looking at, was about the size of the hired room he'd lived in when he first moved to Charming. Kai mostly pretended the wardrobe wasn't there, cycling through the simplest of the tunics and trousers he could find. Not today. Today, the Queen's press secretary was digging through his things, chucking around jackets and scarves so encrusted with fine beading and gold embroidery they clanked when they hit the walls. "Why don't you have any green velvet shoes?" she demanded. "Who even wears velvet shoes?" Kai sat on the bed. He'd spent a few very pleasant hours with Dennis, and no giant beanstalks had broken into their private time. He wasn't ready to let go of the comfortable happiness that came from pretending there were two ordinary boys in love. Princes, Your Highness, princes wear velvet shoes. Don't you start Your Highnessing me. If you pretend to respect me, I have no hope of a normal life. They were friends once, he and Amira, work colleagues. Then they were enemies briefly, and now they were this. Somehow, Kai's official rise in status meant even more of Amira telling him what to do. She stuck her head out of the wardrobe to give him a scornful expression. She wore a silver sailor's cap with a ruby brooch the size of a small egg right in the middle of her forehead. He hoped desperately that it did not belong to him. You don't get to be normal anymore, Highnessy McHighness. We both have a job to do, and mine is to get you all spiffy for the reception tonight. Isn't that below your pay grade? Indeed it is, Royal Fancy Pants, Lost Prince of the Realm. But what the Queen commands, I do. Kai wrinkled his nose. Queen Ella of Charming used the word spiffy. She said suitable. I'm translating. Didn't know you were fluent in Queen. One of my many skills. Amira emerged triumphantly with a forest green suit covered in gold frogging, a matching hat, and what looked like white knee socks with garters. Nope, no, nope, said Kai, and threw himself on the bed. I'm a prince. That means I get to get drunk and run away, doesn't it? I've read newspapers. I know how this story goes. Amira sighed. He closed his eyes and ignored her. He heard some rustling of fabrics, and then the bed dipped as she lay down next to him. Kid, that's for bad princes. You're the good prince. Ugh. Kai knew he was being a brat. He'd never been allowed to be a brat before, not with the governess to out-intimidate all other governesses as his mother, and growing up as a stranger in other people's rich houses. His childhood, as it turned out, was a rehearsal for right now. Why do I have to be suitable? I imagine it's to show off how hot you are as a marriage prospect, said Amira, and then squawked in protest as Kai sat up so fast he knocked her off the bed. Oi! Marriage prospect, Kai repeated. Marriage prospect? Who exactly do they expect me to marry? Dennis returned to the doghouse dorm, happy and relaxed, right up until he saw Ziggy standing miserably in front of their lockers. Oh, what's wrong? Shouldn't you still be on duty? I don't do that anymore, she said, scooping the last of her things into a bag. Wait, what? I'm not a royal hound, Dennis, she explained, looking miserable. I'm a princess, and now they all know it. Your mother, he breathed, understanding. I mean, you didn't want to be away from your family forever, did you? Maybe this could be a good thing? He didn't believe a word of it. He'd run away from his own family to be a royal hound too, and he wouldn't trade back for a second. It's not even real, Ziggy wailed, and spun around quickly, pressing her face into his tabard-covered chest. Awkwardly, he patted her back. What's not real? My... She broke off as if she literally could not say what was bothering her. It doesn't matter. I have to go through this whole charade of putting on a frock and parading me around like I'm hunting a husband all over again. It's so embarrassing. He'll miss you, said Dennis. It was barely beginning to sink in that Ziggy wasn't one of them anymore. She had to go back to that world of royals and frocks. This sucks. Have you told Jack? Zig lifted her head, something like fear on her face. I can't, Dennis. She'll hate me. That's basically impossible. You have to tell her, Ziggy. She'll understand. Oh, she'll understand, Ziggy said sourly. She's been friends with the princes most of her life. She knows what I'm in for. See? Dennis urged her. He was a massive hypocrite, he knew. He wasn't over Kaya's new change in status. He wasn't sure he would ever be. She'll have your back. We all will. It's not even real, Ziggy sighed again, and hauled her bag onto her shoulder. But this wasn't real either. It was a stupid dream, being a hound. A really brilliant dream. And now it's over. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. If you are interested in a bonus Castle Charming story, there is one available for my $2 plus Patreon supporters to download. So if you pledge $2 to my Patreon, you can hunt up a story called Charm or Dare. I mention this because it's set between the second and third stories. It's from Corporal Jack's point of view and includes a few revelations of, how she feels about things, people, that sort of stuff. It also has a lot of exploration of the rather fun uses that the princes have for magic beans. So if you're interested in Charm or Dare, if you're feeling like a Castle Charming completionist, it doesn't have an audio version yet, but at the moment you can download the ebook of that from my Patreon if you are a $2 or higher subscriber. So just mentioning that. Also, as I mentioned last week, if you would like to be my newsletter subscriber, or you feel you already are my author newsletter subscriber, but you haven't resubscribed in the last couple of weeks, please go and sign up again, because I accidentally deleted my entire database. And now my lovely newsletter subscriber list, which was up to 3,000, is back down to like about 250. So yeah, if that's something you want, even if you haven't subscribed before, but you want my regular newsletters, please follow the link in the show notes. Yes, I am very embarrassed that I did that thing. Always back up your mailing list, people. Always back up. Don't be me. All right, see you next week. Bye.